Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Talking sports and much more with Brent Doherty, Mickey Ryan, and Don Davenport. This is the 3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone.
Welcome in, 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. On the road again today. We're like Willie Nelson this week. We're on the road again.
On the road again.
We're one of our spots that we've been hanging out for years, the Titans Pro Shop, Titans Team Store, whatever you call it. This place is loaded with all kinds of amazing Titans stuff. It's never too early to shop for Christmas. Never too early to just do something nice for yourself. As Journey once said, be good to yourself.
If you're looking for Christmas sweater, you know, you need like that ugly sweater, they've got that right next to Mickey.
Yep. Maybe that's a hint.
It's intentionally gloriously awesome for that purpose, if you need that purpose. Buck Rising is here at the table and trying to get him to purchase that sweater.
I actually wore a tacky Christmas sweater to a Mike Vrabel press conference last year.
Is that right?
Yes, and he made a Caddyshack joke that I didn't get because Caddyshack's 40 years old.
And you're not.
And Mike was hugely pleased with himself until he realized that his joke landed with all the old media people and not me.
I understand that you're not 40, but you act like you're a 60-year-old curmudgeon. So, I mean, you should go back and watch all of these things.
I haven't even seen The Waterboy. Austin was grilling me about The Waterboy earlier today because we have this magic bucket segment that we do on Thursdays, A to Z Sports. And I was supposed to talk like Farmer Fran, who I did not know who Farmer Fran was. And then I had to talk like Farmer Fran for 15 seconds in front of the live internet audience, and it was hugely embarrassing.
How do you not know The Waterboy? Like, is that, again, just before you're...
I was five.
So what's the first movie you remember watching then?
Let's get in your wheelhouse. Buck Rising, A to Z Sports, normally joins us at 2:15, but inevitably joins us at 2 o'clock.
I don't think he's ever joined us at 2:15 before joining us at 2 o'clock.
I don't think so either.
I just like to be here early. I like to hang out. And then I'm happy to talk if you guys want to talk to me. I'm happy to just sit here, too.
You had to find the Titans Pro Shop, though.
First time I've been in here. It's lovely. Many fine things. If you
hang out on the other side of the stadium.
This is my
the
first.
West side. You're not an East side guy.
West side.
No, I think I'm probably more East Nashville than I am anything else. But I've always come into the stadium on the other side through the media entrance, and here I am.
They've got the item of the week. It is a very cool hat, two-tone, like dark Titan blue with the white flaming thumbtack logo on the front, $19.95. You can get one of those for yourself. Also, a lot of promotions for the Titans game tomorrow. They are giving away free Titans hats courtesy of Nissan to the first 30,000 fans.
Oh,
so
you
buy one hat and get a free one. You can leave with two new hats.
Those hats look good, too. I saw them. That's a good idea. I forgot about that. That's a good pull there, Mick.
No doubt.
Shouts to hat model Kim Smith of
Kim
Titans
Smith
PR.
Making that hat
is
look
Kim Smith
amazing.
The hat model?
She's
she
the
was.
Hat model.
Yeah.
That's outstanding. I've never been a hat model. I should be, though.
I wouldn't do it. My hair's too good.
Mason, you know who Mason Ramsey is, right? You guys are about the same age. He's going to sing the national
Mason
anthem.
Mason Ramsey's
tomorrow.
11, right?
He's some prepubescent age that
he's
like,
fantastic. He was taking shots at the Chargers on Twitter the other day.
He was. If you ain't got no giddy up, giddy on up out of my way.
That's right.
At Chargers. Disrespect.
I love it. I love Mason Ramsey. We actually tried to get him on the show, and I thought we were working toward that, but I haven't heard anything today.
Kim's listening to the show. Just text me. Shout out, Kim.
Tell Kim, you know, she's modeling those hats, and
she
we have yet to see any. Yeah, tell her bring them by.
Even. Bring some over here for your boys.
Yeah.
Also, they have they have Tannehill jerseys here. You get ready for tomorrow's game, man.
Oh,
I mean, Sunday's game.
Wonder if that was hurriedly, like, y'all go print up some Tannehill jerseys.
You know where the Marcus Mariota jerseys are? In the limited section.
Well, yeah, they're limited.
That's the nicest level of jersey. is the limited jersey.
The limited jersey.
Pro Football Talk was writing
limited
about
Forerunner. It's the best one.
About Mariota being an option in Kansas City.
Listen, Pro Football Talk was also writing about Eli Manning being an option in Kansas City. Hell out of here, Florio. What are you talking about?
This morning they said, after thinking about it overnight, Mariota is the best option.
They doubled down on it.
Yeah.
I mean, if and we can talk about this, obviously, Pat Mahomes with the kneecap dislocation
last
night.
That was disgusting. And then they're going to show the replay of the guy popping it back into place.
Let's throw it now to Aaron Andrews. Aaron, can you give us more information on Pat Mahomes' knee dislocation? No, but let's show the replay again. 10 more times.
On a quarterback sneak.
Woof.
How does that even happen?
Nastily is how that happens. It was brutal. But, yeah, I mean, the Mariota
thing. He got good news today, by the way.
He did. And the good news is why, I mean, these were just ideas that are floating because obviously it's an easy connection to make. Marcus Mariota, you already got $7 million of his salary off the books over the course of the season. So the Chiefs, if they were to actually trade for him, it would be costing them in the neighborhood of between 13 and 14, based on how his contract is structured. But if it was a long-term issue, like if Pat Mahomes was going to be done for the year, it's an easy connection to make because you have a benched quarterback here in Nashville who's 25. He's going to be 26 in a couple of weeks. And he is somebody who could use an offensive reboot. Where else would you go for an offensive reboot but Kansas City? I'm sure his agents would be lobbying for that.
Right.
But it's purely speculation. Like, there's no actual talks.
From a Titan perspective, would you even go down that path? Because then you don't have a backup quarterback.
No, yeah, because then I have people tweeting me, Brent, that they should if they trade Mariota to Kansas City, then they should bring Eli Manning here. No. Why? What is this with dead arm Eli Manning?
His wife's from here. That's the connection. He's in Nashville.
And what?
I mean, I'm just...
He plays quarterback. Yeah, people like him.
Does he?
And he's not playing.
Does he play quarterback?
He used to. He won 2 Super Bowls.
Well, the idea would be that he not play here, too, but at least be standing over there just in case.
Yeah. Even the idea of Eli Manning standing on your sideline would irritate
him. He could wear one of Kim Smith's hats over there. Mm-hmm.
A lot of love for Kim Smith on the airwaves today.
You've been to practice this week. You've seen the overall mood. How do things feel over there? Because I think with a lot of fans and with some people in the market watching the ultimate demise of Marcus, it was kind of a hard thing to watch, but those guys have got to try to win a football game. So he may be their buddy, maybe hard for them, but they ultimately got to try to beat the Chargers now.
Wednesday felt like a funeral.
Okay.
Like it felt like somebody actually died in that locker room. And obviously it's nothing that severe, but you know, everybody feels for Marcus Mariota. I feel for Marcus Mariota, for God's sakes. His first year in Nashville was my first year in Nashville. There is, he's the only Titans quarterback that I've ever covered or known professionally. But the Thursday things got back to normal and it looked a little unnatural. Still today, watching Tannehill take reps with the ones, it looked a little just unnatural because it's not Marcus. Marcus standing on the sideline with his hands in his pockets, just watching Tannehill take the reps. But you know, they have to do something. They had to do something. Just because Marcus, you know, probably deserved better. I mean, he failed, no question about it. The organization failed him as well. I think that can be said wholeheartedly. I don't think there's much disputing in that. But you have to do something different because he's a different player. A different player than when he was drafted here, a different player than, you know, 3 weeks ago in Atlanta. And you can't live that way if you think you have the roster that you put together if you're John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, whatever the offensive line looks like. And that's still inexplicable to me. But I think that Tannehill gives them the best chance on Sunday against a hurt Chargers team. It's not going to have Melvin Ingram, so the pass rush is going to be less, and perhaps you can get something going with Derrick Henry, perhaps something more than 1.9 yards a carry as they were in Denver because they literally didn't have to worry about the passing game. Tannehill's playing with house money. He's going to look more comfortable out there because he doesn't have the weight of the world on his shoulders like Marcus Mariota did.
So ultimately, by your explanation of things, right move, had to be done.
I hate it for him, but had to be done.
What do you think the offense looks like with Tannehill? Because we had this discussion yesterday. If it's humming, if it looks like whatever it's supposed to look like with him, what does that look like?
Less constipated. I mean, they are literally...
I told you. We go back to this town needs an enema.
Okay.
Ryan Tannehill was the enema. And you just said less constipated. I didn't even hear that analogy.
Of all the things that Ryan Tannehill has been described as over the course of his career, a human enema.
I'm just saying.
Woof. Yeah. If things go to plan, I mean, it doesn't need to look much different, but you don't need to keep max protection in there because Tannehill's not holding the ball as long as Marcus, and so you don't need to keep the extra guys in to protect Marcus because the offensive line is deficient. You get the ball out quicker. You get the wide receivers more involved. You have a quarterback who is seeing the field better and who isn't as concerned with his future situation because he knows if his future situation here goes well, he's going to get paid either here or elsewhere.
That's right.
It just needs to be more free-flowing. It needs to look looser. It needs to look more comfortable. That was anything but what we saw against the Bills and the Broncos and Jacksonville and the Colts. It looked bad. It was a bad product. I don't know that it will get substantially better, but there's no question that it's going to make a difference to have a quarterback who's not feeling that kind of pressure and not playing as such.
I'll ask you this on the other side. Just hold on to it. This is a tease. Do you ever think we'll see Mariota play in a Titans uniform again? Hold your answer.
Find out next.
Find out next on 3HL.
Welcome back in 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. 3HL coming at you live from the Titans Pro Shop. Titans team store today on the east side of the stadium. So technically, this shop's in East Nashville. Just a trendy East Nashville
place. It's a perfect spot for Buck Rising to be.
And yep. JT with all the vibes coming back.
The sports hipster that he is.
He's going to get geared up here. You can, too. We'll be here until 6 o'clock today. Lots of good stuff with the Titans on Sunday. If you haven't got your tickets yet, get your tickets. Vanderbilt Baseball, the 12th Titan. So all you Vandy fans have something to cheer about, come on out.
Help Timmy C.
Get the crowd pumped up. Put the anchor down.
Timmy C. not happy today. They vetoed that third assistant coach deal for baseball.
What in the world? Why in the actual heck would they do that?
I don't know.
It's a very polite way to put that, Mick. What in the actual heck?
It's radio. I mean, we're doing a family show here, bud.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've been behaving that way the past couple of weeks.
How did you end up on this show? By the way, every time we come in here, Mickey ends up putting like a football uniform on.
Oh, can
something really big.
Yeah.
Like one of those lineman jerseys that comes down to mid-calf.
You've put the pants on before, though.
I put it all on. Put it on the line for the Titans. It's what I do.
Hand in the dirt.
Buck Rising from A to Z Sports joins us on Fridays, typically for 30 minutes. It always turns into 45 minutes. So we ask you a question at Buck Rising on Twitter. Rising is spelled R-E-I-S-I-N-G.
Put some spec on it, Mick.
Yeah, I will. I'll put some stank on it is what I'll do. Marcus Mariota, do you think he will ever play for the Tennessee Titans again?
Probably. You seen the offensive line?
Yeah. So you think it would be just an attrition thing where Tannehill just goes out there, takes a sack, takes another, gets pounded, and they're like, okay, eight, you go jump behind these guys.
I mean, yeah. Okay. But that's above all else is why I don't think they would be shopping Marcus Mariota.
I agree.
Because they're literally the worst. They are giving up the most sacks of any offensive line in the sport. And Ryan Tannehill does not have he's not been healthy over the course of his career. And so you cannot.
The last few years.
You cannot assume that he, and Marcus to his credit did, you know, they had him put on the weight. He held up over the course of the six games, even though he took an absolute beating. And Tannehill is still Ryan Tannehill. You cannot assume.
They basically have the same sack percentage in their careers.
Yes.
They get sacked at a similar rate, almost the exact same rate.
They are literally the Spider-Man meme of each other.
Same completion percentage.
It's crazy.
Almost the same interception percentage, almost the same touchdown percentage, almost the same sack percentage. It is really odd.
And when you say almost, it's like
it's a couple of hundredths of a point. Even down to their winning percentage, Marcus is 0.45. And Tannehill is 0.47.
Yeah. And, by the way, I mean, we're assuming that Tannehill keeps the job if he's healthy. Ryan Tannehill could go out there and suck, too.
Right? Can Ryan Tannehill complete a screen pass?
Probably.
Can he hit an out route?
He's my quarterback.
I mean, can he hit an out route or, a shallow dig? Can he hit those things?
Poor little guy. Yeah.
Okay.
I think he can.
But listen, I mean, to be fair to Marcus, if you've been knocked over the head 29 times, it would stand to reason that you might be a little gun-shy. You
know? Listen, Roger Saffold is a fellow Indiana Hoosier, and so I was very excited to see one of my own here in Nashville. And now we are both shaming the city of Nashville with our respective performances, except his just happens to be on the field.
Why did he get bad? Why are they bad? The Undertaker held up his end of the deal. It felt like while he was out there. I get the LaJuan and Saffold thing. They got to develop chemistry like it's a rom-com and they're going through the rough patch now. And then, you know, everything will be okay at the end of the movie. But how in the world does a position with this much draft capital, free agent money, these are highly drafted and well-regarded players, some of whom who have great histories in this league. How has it all just gone in the pooper all of a sudden?
It's the most inexplicable thing about the Titans this year is Roger Saffold. He makes zero sense to me. You go back and watch. I mean, Dave McGinnis, you guys have him on the show regularly. You have him on the station regularly. Dave spent 5 years in St. Louis with Roger Saffold. And Dave McGinnis will say, I've never seen him like this. I mean, it is the film. Like, the Los Angeles Rams are suffering without Roger Saffold because he was that caliber of player last year when they made the damn Super Bowl run. Oh, forgot, family show.
Dang.
I wish I had an explanation for you, but when you watch him on film, he looks lost. And I guess you have to fault Keith Carter for not being able to figure that out. But is Keith Carter the root of all of their problems? That can't be so. Taylor Lewan is still a great player. Taylor Lewan is an $80 million caliber left tackle. Nate Davis, I think he's looked like a rookie at times. Derek Wolfe threw him around. I think physically picked him up and threw him into Marcus Mariota for a sack last week. And so you expect those kind of struggles. He's sure as heck better than Jameel Douglas. Don't laugh at me, Brent. I'm used to the internet.
Fine.
The internet is the wild, wild west, and then you put me on FCC radio. I don't know what to do.
Well, we're on that, too. But...
Well, yes. Stream wherever you get the 104.5 The Zone app.
Kevin Pompeo has gotten healthy. At some point, do you think they give him? I mean, I know
they drafted on the injury report.
I know they drafted Nate Davis, and he's their guy, and they drafted him, and they want him to go out and perform. But if you're not seeing what you want from him on tape, Kevin Pompeo is at least a guy who's played some in this league, has been serviceable even for this team for a stretch until he was injured last year.
If the Undertaker
is just standing on the sidelines for the game, except for the few tight end and special team snaps he gets.
It's so bizarre to me that they refuse to put Dennis Kelly back on the field other than to have him report eligible. It's like the Mike Mularkey regime all over again. Number 71 is reporting eligible.
Well, he had like 7 starts when Mularkey was the head coach.
At tight end. Listen, if this crap keeps up, I think you give Kevin Pompeo Roger Saffold snaps. Enough of this.
You could. You know, it's interesting. I was just looking at Saffold's numbers. Saffold has officially allowed 5 sacks. I've seen 6 bandied about. But according to this, 5 sacks. You have to go back 46 games to find him allowing 5 total sacks before this season.
It's insane.
It's crazy.
And the thing is, like, he's a 31-year-old player. And, yes, offensive on a third contract, a 31-year-old offensive lineman, okay, there will be some signs of diminished play. But with him, it's like he's forgotten what to do. He creates more when he sets his feet to pass protect. He creates more space than necessary, like he's taking too deep a drop because you're inherently doing something that's unnatural when you pass protect. You're taking a step back and letting the defensive lineman come to you, but he's creating too much space. His footwork's weird. And then when he's out there, you watch some of the running plays against Denver. Like, he just totally misses assignments. Like, it's like he's fundamentally lost the understanding of how to play left guard in the NFL. And I wish I had an explanation. I want to know who's dressing him because I like his outfits.
And for all the people who tweet
I don't
you
like his play.
Or send you messages or call our show and like, cut him. You can't cut that guy. His dead cap number next year is almost $14 million. That's next year. It's $19 million this year. I mean, you're not cutting the guy.
John Robinson The best thing that you can say about John Robinson, I know there are mixed emotions about him right now because of people like Roger Saffold, which, I mean, I'm not blaming John Robinson for Roger Saffold. Who could have seen that coming?
No, his tape is phenomenal.
What John Robinson's MO has been from the quarterback to DeMarco Murray when they cut him because his body was failing him, to Doriel Green Beckham when they traded him for Dennis Kelly, to Parrish Cox when they cut him after a game, to Kevin Dodd after that didn't work out. He didn't hesitate to move on when he felt like he needed to.
Yeah.
And so I'm watching that situation the most closely, because if you can say anything positive about John Robinson, it is that. He might have to make an uncomfortable decision with his $11 million left guard pretty damn soon. Pretty dang soon.
Oh, my gosh, man. That's a huge hit. I don't know what you do there.
It makes zero sense to me. I wish I had the answers. I'm supposed to be an analyst. Isn't that why you guys have me here?
All right, we're going to try to get
There's
answers.
There's no answer for that.
We'll try to get answers from Buck Rising when we come back. If you want answers from him on Twitter, again, at Buck Rising, you can just come by the Titans team store, Titans Pro Shop. That's where we will be till 6 o'clock. We got one more segment with Buck.
I'm a huge draw.
Coming up. You are a huge draw.
A Few Good Men. Have you seen that movie?
Yes.
I want answers.
You can't handle the truth.
Yeah. Tell me Roger Saffold. And then we'll commiserate about Indiana basketball together.
I just want him to wear the kimono-looking thing again. That was fresh.
Listen, I want a kimono. I want a kimono like Roger Saffold. I'll wear that again.
We're getting We'll get custom Titans kimonos made here at the Pro Shop. Seriously, they can customize a jersey with anything you want. Like, get a big one. It'll fit like a kimono.
I think that's how they got those Tannehill jerseys out so fast.
Something tells me that's how that worked. But they're here. If you want them, support the QB1. GHL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. One more segment with Buck Rising from A to Z Sports. Mickey Ryan and Brent Doherty here on site along with Buck. Dawn Davenport traveled all the way to Vanderbilt today. She has the call with her SEC network cohorts tomorrow as Vanderbilt hosts Missouri.
I think Dawn's just ducking me.
You too. You may be the same person. I've never seen you in the same place at the same time.
I can assure you that Dawn Davenport and I would not be mistaken for one another. No, but nobody is mistaking a 200-pound Arab for Dawn Davenport. Hello, friends.
At B-Love 615 tweeted us something that he wrote about Roger Saffold that we can't repeat, nor can we retweet. But if you search it out, you might chuckle.
It made me giggle. I giggled.
And V-Love is a part of a gigantic tailgate that these guys are awesome, and he's awesome, and huge Titan fan. Came up with exotic Smash Mouth as like his thing, and the Titans like reimbursed him to use it.
Seriously?
Yes. The first
Wonder
time I met
that
him,
royalty check looked like. Good I Lord.
Was. Might not have been. I don't know what it was.
It's in the form of like swag, probably.
It probably
got
was.
Some really nice jerseys.
So we
got
were,
some Mariota jerseys.
He's got a tanning.
We were broadcasting live in advance of Tennessee and North Carolina, where Derek Dooley had weird things happen to him, which often happened when Derek Dooley coached a football game, to where like it led to rule changes and stuff like that. But anyway, we started broadcasting at like 9 in the morning. This guy comes in by himself, sits right in front of the stage, and he's got two tall boy, like natty lights or something.
Ugh.
And I'm like, this is my kind of guy. 9 in the morning, two tall boys sitting here listening to us. We're going to be friends.
I would be sitting on the toilet for the rest of the day if I had natty light before 10 a.m.
10 a.m. Well, you've got your standard.
10:15, you're
I am a professional, boys. I am a professional, and that's why it's only Tequila Rocks anymore.
The thing that got you was the 10 a.m. out of all of that.
What do you think happens with Big Jeff this week? Did you watch Big Jeff practice?
I did. He's horrifying to watch. I mean, oh, my God.
Cam Wake made fun of his belly.
He does have a belly. And
Cam Wake could make fun of anyone's belly.
Cam Wake, it's not like I need anybody's help fat-shaming me. But walking through the locker room on a daily basis and seeing Cam Wake is built like a superhero. He is unbelievable. But Jeff Simmons, I don't know. And again, I wish I had a more definitive answer for you, but I think they are playing it as close to the vest as humanly possible.
They said they're going to decide tomorrow. That's the latest news on him, that he's had a good week. They'll decide tomorrow.
And we talked to him in the locker room. He waited to the last possible moment. Bless him. He tried to duck us, but he waited to the last possible moment. The locker room availability was open to come in, and then we had to talk to him. And he said the same thing, that they would let him know tomorrow. It's curious because I think he's going to make a massive difference in terms of the ability to get pressure with four. We talked about this last week. He, whether or not they limit his snaps, is an entirely different matter. For somebody that size to move as well as he does coming off a knee injury, I mean, he's only 22, and he's just a monster of a human being. Monster of a human being. And he is going to be
crazy athletic.
He is going to be feared from the moment you put him in that rotation, as well he should. Whether or not they feel comfortable with a 1 week of practice schematically, because there's a chance you put him out there. And he, I mean, with defensive line, it's a little easier. Go, you know, just go. Control your gap, maintain your gap integrity, help the linebackers play freely, and on third down, get to the quarterback. It's as simple as that. For that reason, I'm leaning towards we will see him tomorrow, but I understand their hesitation Sunday. Because of the health issue. Huh?
Sunday.
Sunday, bloody Sunday. I would hesitate to put him out.
I got a U2 reference.
Yes, you,
that made me laugh.
Listen to that.
You got it. That was really the.
That's amazing.
Surprising.
Just stopped our show right in, right in its tracks.
That's what I do.
Gosh, I would be tempted to wait, man. Imagine if he goes out there and gets hurt. then what?
God forbid. I mean, yeah, and that you don't necessarily need him like you want him out there. Everybody is fascinated by the prospect of him out there just because you look at him and you're like, what a difference that dude could make. But you don't necessarily need him. And so if they decide that they're just not comfortable enough with it, I would absolutely respect that decision by them because at least they're thinking smartly about it.
See, Blaine Bishop always talks about, it's not necessarily the injury and the coming back from that. It's the overcompensation that something else could happen. You know what I mean? And so I would be really guarded. And I think that they have been, honestly, because from every indication, there was thought to put him on the 53 at the beginning of the season. And they waited. They hesitated there.
The recovery time of that dude, I mean, it speaks to what, I mean, it's not just the stature of the guy. Like, he is a genetic freak. And so, for all of those reasons, I would be more cautious with him than I assume most Titans fans would want to be. And I hope that they are considering that as well. I'm sure they are.
Buck Rising hanging out with us at the Titans team store. We mentioned Cam Wake shaming Big Jeff. How is his hamstring? You know, you said he's a superhero. How's his super hamstring right now? Because they need him.
They do. And Reggie Gilbert on the injury report. I saw him leave practice today.
And Sharif Finch just ruled out along with the stapler, Chris Milton.
How you feel about a heavy dose of Kamale Correa the edge?
I'm going to say that's not scaring anybody. I mean, he's a depth guy, and he'll go out there and give it all he's got, but he's not scaring anybody.
The difference out there is noticeable because, as Brent mentioned before we went to air, you have to at least account for him when he's on the field. Mike was
third and long, pass rushing situations. Yes.
He matters, not to just distract attention from the other guys. Mike wasn't comfortable making a designation on today. Honestly, to Mike's credit, as much as he hates talking about injuries, on Friday when we ask him, he's pretty good about saying, yeah, this guy will go, this guy won't go. He's been pretty forthright with it. I legitimately think they don't know because, as with Jeffrey Simmons, they have been hugely hesitant with Cam Wake because they know they're going to need him, and they know that they don't want to, especially with a hammy. With a hammy, you got to be real careful.
Here's the thing, though. 2-5, done.
Yeah, 2-5, it doesn't
matter. I mean, fire all your bullets now, man.
Yeah. This is going to be, I mean, you hate to call a Week 7 game must win. But especially with a conference win, you have dropped both of your divisional games to this point. You have lost two of the three conference games that you have played.
Oh, that beeping sound is them backing themselves into a corner that we can all hear right now.
1,000%. And so if there was a time for Cam Wake, you don't want him to rush back, but if there was a time for Cam Wake to play hurt, this would be the time. Because you need something, and Phillip Rivers is not going to give you anything. This is one of the best quarterbacks in professional football. I don't care how you feel about him personally, Mickey. I know nothing would satisfy your bloodthirst for Phillip Rivers being knocked on his butt more, seeing him ringed around his neck by his bolo tie by Cam Wake, than that.
I would enjoy that. And I know he's a great guy and a father of many, but
but an exceptional trash talker.
Exceptional child maker.
He's an overachiever.
Anticipatory throwing, good. I don't think I can.
Vrabel on his dissertation of his anticipatory throwing, where basically guys aren't even out of huddle yet, and he's throwing the ball to where they're going to be, was pretty funny.
Well, it was funny for a variety of reasons, because on Thursday when we talked to Dean Pease, they literally mirrored what each other had said, and I'm sure Dean Pease is not sitting there watching a Mike Vrabel press conference trying to take notes on what the company line is. No, I think one of them ran into the other one's office and say, "Did you see that guy pop up off the screen? Rivers threw that five full seconds before there was a receiver in the shot when they're watching film. He is, and I saw it last year when we went to London. It was incredible to watch him on those first two drives just whip down the field, and there were guys. I mean, you see a wide receiver come screaming in after the fact, but the ball is out of his hand so fast that it makes up for poor offensive line play in front of it, because he's had to do that. And it makes up for the physical limitations that he has as a player, and he's just one. And his mobility in the pocket is unparalleled. I mean, he is legitimately shifty in there. I had to be really careful with that word.
Well, we've been talking about Big Jeff. You mentioned his old line. They've been waiting for Russell Okung to come back from a pulmonary embolism.
He back.
And he started practicing, and they're hinting that he might play. But
it sounds like they're pretty optimistic about it, based on the reports that I've been reading.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's like to come back from a pulmonary embolism and play professional football. I can't even begin to imagine. But Rivers is going to make it hard enough on you as it is. And so if you feel like that, this is why the Jeff Simmons thing is so curious. Cam Wake is one thing, but Jeff Simmons is another. You need to affect Rivers. You need to do that above all else, because their pass rush is going to be hindered without Melvin Ingram. Joey Bosa is a good player, but I think that they can. Mike Vrabel knows Joey Bosa's skill set very well from their time together in Ohio State, and I think that they will have an adequate game plan prepared for them, or at least you would hope Arthur Smith has done something this week, because I was not pleased with Arthur Smith and our conversations with him on Thursday.
Phillip Rivers, the trash talker. Jarrell Casey with us yesterday talking about how he's probably the biggest quarterback trash talker. But that he definitely does not curse. That it's like,
doesn't curse.
Hey, Jarrell, you're not very good.
Fricker.
Dag on you, Jarrell. Dang it.
I need to take a lesson from Phillip Rivers when I come on your radio show.
He's Boonhauer. Dang old, daggum, Jarrell, daggum.
See, I get that one too. King of the Hill.
That's good. All right, we got 30 seconds left. I know we opened talking to you about the preposterous stuff from Pro Football Talk about the Chiefs just need to get Mariota. Do you honestly think the Titans will get engaged in any type of realistic trade talks? Kenyon Drake is a guy who's been mentioned out there as a possible trade target.
I think Kenyon Drake would help. It's been reported that they are sniffing around him. I think it would help because he has a versatility of skill set that the other two do not. They give away what they're doing when each running back is on the field, because one can't catch and the other can't run. The other one, you're sacrificing to the football gods when you put Deion Lewis out there. It is unbelievable what happens to this poor, small, little human. He is literally engulfed by a giant 300-pound rage monster.
Do you give up draft capital to bring in another running back? And you've got a backup that's making the money that he's making?
Brent, if you think that you've got – I don't want to keep you over, but here's what stands out about Kenyon Drake and Derrick Henry. If you think Kenyon Drake works better with Ryan Tannehill and you think Ryan Tannehill's got a future here, neither of them are under contract after this year. Both quarterbacks, and if you trade for the running back, he's not either. Kenyon Drake's looking for an extension.
Yeah.
And I bet he's not looking for it in Miami.
There you go. Buck Rising, at Buck Rising on Twitter, at A to Z Sports. That's where you can find him.
Nailed the dismount.
There you go.
Good job.
Thank you, Bucky.
Always a pleasure.
Boys. Now you know where the team story is. You can buy presents. Before we let you go, Josh Ward will join us next. John Cocktoasten. Josh Ward will join us from WNNL Radio.
I did not.
He will let us know his three keys to a Vols victory this week. Before we go, though, let me tell you about this. We got some delicious food today from our friends at Ruth's Chris. They got a big event planned with George Dickel Tennessee Whiskey. Friday, October 25th, 2019, 6:30, 5-course meal. Sizzling steak paired with whiskeys from George Dickel. If that's the kind of thing that sounds good to you, and I know it does to a lot of you,